Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3.
Thinking about these little guys going downstairs to get the gospel on their level, I'm reminded of the little, you know, 8-9-year-old boy standing out in the foyer looking at the names of servicemen and women that had died in the service. He didn't really understand it, and so the pastor came up and says, "Son, do you know what you're looking at?" And he's like, "No, not really." He says, "Well, these are men and women that died in the service." And he looked at the preacher and said, "Which one, first or second?" He thought he's talking about somebody died in the sermon. Now, the good news is that's pointed towards preachers, so I wasn't shooting at any of y'all, because the message today is on kindness. Messages on kindness. Last week we talked about patience. Today we're going to talk about kindness. Brother Tom, in my humble opinion, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is leading me this direction is because what we're fitting to do in about 2 weeks, we're going to need a lot of patience and a lot of kindness for hopefully the hundreds of people that God is going to bring here through the Easter walk. We're going to need that. We're going to need kindness and patience with one another. We're going to need kindness and patience at our homes before we come. And now, Lindsay. Lindsay's over here doing this, trying to get to Tom through poor Chase. So, and we're going to need it at our homes afterwards. You know, the reality is, church, every home has a dynamic that these eyeballs here don't necessarily see. And as God changes the home, he just turns up in a good way the heat right here in a revival sense. Happier homes make wonderful churches. And I know that God does that. I know he's doing it. I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are doing wonderfully in this area. But again, there's always room for improvement. And so we're going to look at our sermon in a sentence first or two. In other words, it's more than one sentence. And then we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Sermon and sentence. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is love in action. If patience is how love reacts in order to minimize a negative circumstance, kindness is how love acts to maximize a positive circumstance. Patience avoids the problem. Kindness creates a blessing. One is a preventative. The other is proactive. These two sides of love are the cornerstones on which many of the other attributes are built. These are not my words. These are words from the Love Dare book by the Kendrick brothers. Love makes you kind, and kindness makes you likable. Have you ever been in your marriage and you've done what Dawn and I have done with each other in these 30 years? We'll say to one another on an occasion, "I love you, but I don't particularly like you right now." And no, we're not trying to bless the other. We're just trying to delineate where we're at. In other words, give me some space, you know, type thing. Now, that's honesty. That's honesty, and it's okay. And usually now, 30 years into it, it's a joke. We're messing with each other and the such. But there was a time it wasn't. We were warning each other. "I don't want to hurt you, but," you know. And the thing, and please, church, y'all may think I'm confessing stuff. All I'm doing is speaking for you. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm doing. Because y'all live in the same flesh I do. I live in the same flesh you do. We struggle as couples sometimes. And patience and kindness will help us. Patience and kindness will fix us. Patience and kindness will save us from each other. When you're kind, ooh, listen to this. This isn't me. This is somebody else. When you're kind, people want to be around you. They see you as being good to them and good for them. Boy, church, I believe that we are a church known as that. And I believe that we need to strive to just do as best as we can in that area. We want to be a church that is known that we're good to you and we're good for you. I dare say every person in the last 26 years that has chosen to go somewhere else on their parting at some point, I've tried to tell them, I believe we're better with you than without you. I feel that way about every person in this room right here. I believe we're better with you than without you. And so, church, kindness. Kindness will allow you to say those types of things even when your flesh might want to do something different. Our banner. People love people that love people. You know why that banner's there? Is because 3 to 4 weeks before that sermon was preached by Phil Waldrop, who will be here again on the third Sunday of May for the third year in a row, we saw an extreme unkind act happen in first service. It's well documented. Not going to go into it here. If you're new to us and you want to know about it, you come to me. I'll share it with you because it's a part of our DNA now. People love people that love people. You've got to be kind to one another. I said this at the very beginning of our tenure together as pastor. You can catch more flies with honey than you can vinegar. And it's so important for us to practice that. So, Proverbs chapter 3:3-4, will you stand with me for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? Proverbs chapter 3:3-4. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. All three places are represented here. The core principle is here. Love God, love others, and then third place is here too. Listen to it. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, yes, it has to be done. This first part has to be done out of a sincere motive. You're not trying to give to get from God. You're trying to give because it's the right thing to do. You're trying to love people because it's the right thing to do. Watch this. Any man, woman, boy, and girl that does that, God will make sure he takes care of you. Third place will be the best place to be when you are loving God and loving others. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So we have here in this passage a command, if you will. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. So the truth, of course, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for yours and my sin. Jesus showed you love when you didn't deserve it. Jesus showed you love when you didn't ask for it. Jesus showed you love when you couldn't pay him back. And he did what no one else could do for you. He did what you needed more than anything else. Church, listen to me. All of us kind of, you know, we're here in rural America. When God calls us to heaven, he's probably going to say, attention, Walmart shoppers. Okay? But, and most of us think, and we have this idea, well, there's nothing wrong in my life that $1 million wouldn't fix. And I know inflation. Okay, nothing in my life that $10 million wouldn't fix. But please hear me. You don't need a dollar of that compared to the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ. Because when you get to heaven, it doesn't matter if you're worth trillions times that. It's not going to be payment for yours and my sin. But the precious blood of Jesus is. And when you and I show up with the blood of Christ upon our soul, we're going to be the richest people ever. And we already are, according to what the scripture says about you and I. We are finished works in Jesus Christ right here, right now. And so it's extremely important for us to not forsake the truth that God has given us everything we need to be who he's called us to be, and he's called us to be kind. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So, I addressed this with the first service. I told them This is probably not going to be as hard of a sell for the second service because we have, you know, as a general rule, a younger crowd at second service. That's not a mystery. That's not a wonderment because you folks can still sleep as long as you want to. In first service, folks, they've been up for 3 hours. They might as well go to church. I'm living that life. Now, so this is what I told them. So we got some folks that look like me in here, so I'm talking to you too. But we are bad as an older generation to accept the excuse, we're older, it's hard to memorize. Don't say amen, because I'm finna get you. Watch this, guys. I have had people look at me, and you would think that I can't memorize anymore. You think they would be discouraged about that. But you see, they know the preacher. The preacher's going to throw verses at them and stuff at them that he wants them to memorize. So you know what they say? Ha, 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 I'm too old. I can't do that. They're proud of it. And you know what they've done? They've given up. Church, I can't speak for you, but I come from a long line of people that if you give me excuse, that's all I need. That's all I need. You know, I jokingly, when my dad died, I used that for 8 months. My dad died. Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank the Lord they never said when. 8 months ago. Well, you should be old. You're supposed to laugh at that. That was funny. Now, here's the deal. Every person in this room can still memorize or make an effort at it. And please hear me. That is what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying, bind it about your neck, so choose to do this. Write it upon the tablet of thine heart. Memorize it. Do your very best. God will do the rest. I have discovered and found that if I look at something every day for 30 to 40 to 50 days in a row, I got it. I got it. And the stuff that I really, really, really care about, probably 2 days, I'm on it. So, church, the scripture is very clear. If you and I want to do what God has asked us to do, we need to memorize this and let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Because what will it do? You will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Let's dive into that just for a moment. You'll find favor. I don't believe that you give to get. But I believe that when you give because you love God, the Lord is going to bless you with favor and good understanding. Something I've noticed about mankind and humankind, we give people the benefit of the doubt when they're nice. Joy, I just noticed that you're back. Keith, I noticed that you're back. Praise God. Every person in this building that knows Keith and Joy, if you hear that they've done something wrong, bad, or naughty, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. For one, they're too old to be naughty. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's kind of a theme. It's kind of a theme. I'm messing with you. Joy is too kind to do something mean as a general rule. And if you've done much with Joy, when she's getting ready to be mean, she apologizes and apologizes and apologizes and then slaps you across the head with whatever it is she, you know, needs to say. Because it just doesn't come natural for her to point out, but she loves you enough if there's something going on that you need to know. And I've seen her do that in action. I've seen her take a hard biblical stand, but love the person. And they knew she's not doing this to be mean. She's doing it because she loves me. She's kind. So, Webster, kindness. You ready? Number one under Webster's definition, goodwill. Goodwill. Remember, church, Augustine, one of the first scholars of the Bible, says his definition of agape love is to will good to another. Now, the first time I saw that, I really didn't like that definition until I noticed what wasn't there. To will good to another unless, except. None of that was there. To will good to another no matter what. That's agape love. That's kindness, Webster is saying. Benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. Benignity of nature. I'm going to define that here in just a minute. Kindness ever accompanies love. He puts here as an something to describe what he's saying. There is no man whose kindness we may not sometime want, or by whose malice we may not sometime suffer. So the same person that's being kind to you also has the ability to hurt you, but we will obviously want them to show that benevolent kindness to us. Number two, an act of goodwill. Beneficence, any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others, charity, hospitality, attentions to the wants of others are deemed acts of kindness. That word benignity means goodness of disposition or heart, kindness of nature, graciousness. Acts chapter 28, Paul said, "And when we were escaped, then we knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarians showed us no common kindness." In other words, they showed us a lot of kindness. "For they kindled a fire and received us all because of the present rain and because of the cold." Imagine, you're coming out of a shipwreck of a cold ocean during the cold winter, if you will, months, and now you are sopping wet. You survived, but you're going to die from the cold, except the barbarians build a fire, and the barbarians warm you. It's kindness. Why would he say barbarians? As best I understand this passage, this particular area was a trade route, but it was also a route where people were going to imprisonment. But it was also a place where wrecks for ships were pretty common. So this little island had become inhabited by people that were supposed to be incarcerated. Guess what they did when they got on the island? They changed their ways. They had a new start. And so when these people came to their island because of shipwreck, you know what they did? They showed them kindness. Church, listen to me. Aren't you glad people can change? Whew. My wife's thrilled. I'm thrilled. We ought to be overjoyed that we can change. We all have some friends and know some people that don't think that people can change. You ought to be the person that shows them. I'm telling you right now, people can change. We ought to be living it daily. So, here is another. I'm sorry, this is benignity, goodness of disposition or heart, kindness of nature, graciousness, actual goodness, beneficence. So, let's revisit the scripture. "Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." We're going to apply these verses with the compass of kindness. So I'm wanting to use the motif of a compass, north, east, west, south. And we're going to use those four points to keep us in the boundaries of kindness by choosing to let these four points of reference be our boundaries. Church, all of this is borrowed. All of this is borrowed from that book, the Love Dare book. So I'm not trying to impress anybody here. Watch this. I'm trying to instruct us today through people that have instructed me how to be kind. And I believe all of us have lived enough of life to know that these things are accurate. Point number one, initiative. Initiative. Kindness thinks ahead, then takes the first step. No request required. It doesn't sit there waiting to be prompted or coerced before getting off the couch. The kind person will be the one who greets first, smiles first, serves first, and forgives first. Church, our homes will flourish as we apply those truths. Greets for our church will flourish when we put those truths in place. Greet first, smile first, serve first, forgive first. They don't require the other to get his or her act together before showing love. It wouldn't be appropriate, but I wish you could go with me in some, and this is years ago again, not talking about anybody here, not even talking about people on your row. But I've been in counseling settings where the wife or the husband assures me that there's no way that they can be nice, because if they do, they'll become a walking mat. And I'm not trying to invalidate that reality. I'm not trying to invalidate their experience. But watch this. What I am trying to say is that it's going to be very difficult to love again if we don't get over that and we don't get through that. Now watch this. Church, this woman is going to be greatly disappointed if she's looking to me to satisfy her needs. She needs to look to Christ. This husband's going to be greatly dissatisfied if I'm looking to her to satisfy my needs. I need to be looking to Christ. And then as we're both looking to Christ, guess what's happening? Brother Gavin's triangle is happening. And as we're getting closer and closer and closer to Christ, we're getting closer to each other. And sooner or later, God is going to say, don't you worry about how they're going to treat you. You just do what I'm asking you to do. I'll deal with him or her, whatever the case may be. Initiative. They don't require the other. I said that. When acting from kindness, you see the need, and then you quickly make your move. Church, we have, again, excellent examples of people like that all throughout this church. Brad Bannerman's one of the best. If he sees that you need something, he's on it, and he does it. A need seen is an assignment given. The golden rule comes into play here. We all want to be treated with kindness. We all want to be kind, so be the change you want to see. That's a Brad quote as well. True north on this compass of kindness is kindness takes the initiative. Point number two, gentleness. When you're operating from kindness, you're careful how you treat your loved ones. Never being unnecessarily callous or harsh, you're sensitive, tender. Now, I don't know about you husbands in there, but me, I'm hurting right now. Because I had two brothers, older brothers, that loved to use me as a punching bag, because we couldn't afford a punching bag, so they just used me. They tried every new move out on me, so on and so forth. My mother was one of the sharpest-witted people. She could, cut you and you wouldn't even know it. You know, you'd be bleeding out type thing. And I'm talking about figuratively, and I'm talking about with speech. My dad was a quiet, gentle soul, but he was sharp. Watch this. And as the baby of the family, I learned to have a pretty sharp tongue too. And now, unfortunately, for the first 10 years of our marriage, for sure, she bore the brunt of that. So when I hear this, don't be callous, guilty as charged. Don't be insensitive, guilty as charged. Don't be harsh. Remember my little explanation last week? I actually made myself giggle when I thought about this, but the whole thing of the scorpion-like tail, anger. You want some too? That's me if I'm not careful. If I'm not careful, I've got a plenty of venom to share. Church, when you're going to be kind, you're not only going to initiate the kindness, but you're going to be gentle as you do it. You're going to be sensitive. You're going to be tender. Even if you need to say hard things, you bend over backwards to make your rebuke or challenge as easy to hear as possible. We've already illustrated that with joy. You speak the truth in love, gentle. Point number three, helpfulness. Being kind means to meet the needs of the moment. If it's housework, you get busy. A listening ear, you give it. Kindness graces you with the ability to serve your friend without worrying about your rights. Kindness makes you curious to discover what your friend's needs are, then motivate you to be the one who steps up and ensures that those needs are met, even if yours are put on hold. Helpfulness. How about this one? Point number four. Willingness. Kindness inspires you to be agreeable. When I started pastoring, I heard somebody say, Brother Ben, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, but we're going to disagree agreeably. I said, you care if I use that? He said, no, I don't care at all. In church, every one of us ought to learn that ability
to agree to disagree agreeably. And that way you can get along. Sooner or later, you'll find some common ground. Instead of being obstinate, reluctant, or stubborn, you cooperate. You stay flexible. Rather than complaining or making excuses, you look for creative ways to accommodate and adjust. A kind person ends thousands of potential arguments by their willingness to listen first rather than demand their way. Now, I've opened up the coat of transparency here, and I've shared with you that I'm guilty on all of these negative ways. I'm not very good as a human being on kindness. I can also tell you the Holy Spirit has done a work in my life, and I have successfully at times experienced these. And can I tell you, life goes so much better when you do it this way. Life goes so much better when you initiate kindness. Life goes so much better when you do it with gentleness, when you do it with helpfulness, when you do it with willingness. Now, I'm going to confess to you, the problem with Brother Ben is if I'm not properly, if I don't get this treatment, I struggle. But remember, if you're truly going to be kind, you're going to let God take care of that treatment. One of the greatest things that you can do before you go to bed is get between you and God and say, God, Daddy, how did I do today? And just listen. See what he says. See what he tells you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 25 through 37. This is the Samaritan, and we have this as a station. And so we're just going to read this portion, and we're going to draw the net on this message. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. Starts here in 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, you need to understand that he was trying to trick Jesus. He was trying to get Jesus to say something that was worthy of punishment of death. And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And the lawyer said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, the core principle. And he said unto him, Jesus said, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, a Jewish priest, that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Just a few months earlier, Jesus had preached the Sermon on the Mount, which probably several of the people that were in this crowd during this story were at that same sermon. And they heard Jesus say something scandalous. If your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to make it to heaven. And they're sitting there thinking to themselves, whoa, Jesus, hang on. We haven't heard from God for 400 years. And these guys that you just threw under the bus have been faithful to us. They've taught us God's word. They've been so kind to add 280 positive rules to the Ten Commandments, and they've added some 300 and something negative rules to the Ten Commandments just so we can go to heaven. And Jesus was like, no, what they've done is they have absolutely confused the issue. they have turned Christianity, they have turned a relationship with God into a religion. Church, please hear me. We're not pushing religion here. We're pushing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's two different things. And Jesus says unto them, your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And now here he has an opportunity to prove his point. And you know what he uses? He uses a Samaritan who the Jewish people hated because they were a half-breed. They were half Jew, half Gentile. Now, in first service, this is what I did. This would be like in the 1960s, Charles Stanley preaching to an all-white congregation and telling this story, but as a black man helping a white man after two, a white preacher and a white deacon pass by and they don't help. But the black man does. And you know why he helps? He doesn't help because he's afraid of anything. He doesn't help because he doesn't want to get beat up later. He helps because he's moved with compassion. Church, please hear me. We're going to win this community to Christ as we are moved by their situation. When their needs touch our hearts, we're going to love them. Kindness. Kindness. And this black man, you know, to stick with this parable, he showed initiative. He got off of his animal, and he helped this man. But he didn't just throw him up on the animal. He was gentle. He bound his wounds. He was helpful. And then he was willing. He got there, and he paid at his own expense to help this white man. And again, we're just taking this parable and applying it to the South in the 60s. And I'm telling you, for a white preacher to do that, that would be scandalous. It was just as scandalous for Jesus to say it how he said it. But watch this. You know what the greatest scandal is? What Jesus will do to help people that deserve punishment. That's scandalous. And Jesus is here to help every person in this room help the people within your sphere of influence for his sake and for his glory. So we're just going to close this simple sermon. I want to reiterate these four points with these added words. Initiative, I am watching. Gentleness, I am sweet. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, was that action sweet? Was what I just said sweet? We need to ask ourselves that. And if it wasn't, change it. Helpfulness, I'm thorough. Am I thorough in helping this person that I'm trying to be kind towards? Willingness, am I eager? Am I excited to do this? You know, one of the neatest things that Tom gets to see is people giving up their time to come, and they don't just come and begrudge it and complain about it. They throw in. They throw in and they work. And if they're not, Tom, let me know and I'll get on them. Church. Because we've seen it the other way. We've seen people do things begrudgingly. We've seen people not do stuff they ought to do, so on and so forth. But I'm so thrilled and grateful and thankful. Almost on a weekly basis, I'm seeing this church body do things that they need to do to meet people's needs. I got a text yesterday from someone that has a bed available. The first thought that was last week, we were made known of a need for a bed for somebody. So I called that guy. I said, hey, do you still need a bed? He said, nope. Randy and Julie Rayfield came through. So that need was met that night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. So if you need a bed, let me know. Okay? It's full size. But you see what I'm saying? God uses this body to meet needs of the community. I want you to do me this favor. I want you to stand as reverently as you can. Musicians, will you come as reverently as you can? I want to keep talking to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Has there been a name laid on your heart? Has there been names laid on your heart? Are you being patient towards these people? Are you being kind towards these people? Is God calling you to be patient? Is he calling you to be kind? I'm asking you, just while we're sitting here talking to each other, take the initiative this week. Be kind. Show kindness. Y'all know I love to cook. And I got an opportunity to bless one of our Sunday school classes last week. Well, we just made several. Talking about lasagna. And Dawn said, can you make some for these two people she had laid on her heart? When I took the lasagna to this one person, I got a reaction that I don't think I've ever seen attached to lasagna. They started running in place, clapping, and tears literally came to their eyes. Now, I understand that emotion. But I don't see it very often attached to lasagna. Please hear me, church. As we show initiative to meet the needs of hurting people within our sphere of influence, we're going to see good reactions. Do you need to be gentle this week? And guys, even though we may not have experienced this a whole lot from other people, we all know how to be gentle. You know how to caress the side of a head of a child. You know how to run your fingers through their hair to communicate love and appreciation. Now, some of those things may not be appropriate to the people that you need to be gentle to, but you follow what I'm getting at. You just show affection. Even if it's just in your voice. It could also be in you spending time. Are you being helpful? The people that God has laid on your heart, what kind of help do they need? And then the excuses start, don't they? Well, Lord, I don't have any money. I can't do this, can't do that. Please hear me, church. Let's run out of our resources into His. And let's trust Him to meet those needs through us in His grace and glory. And then, of course, the last one, are you willing? Many times I have had to tell the Lord, I really don't think I have the ability, Father, to do this, but I know You can do it through me. And He does. Lord, we're gathered here. What a tremendous crowd You've brought here this morning. I believe and know that You've brought them here to hear this message on kindness. So we're asking You to help us, Father. Help us to absolutely initiate kindness. Help us to be gentle as we initiate it. Help us to be helpful as we initiate it. And help us to be willing to do whatever's in front of us. Father, I pray that You'd prepare us as a church for what's coming in the next 2 weeks to be patient and to be kind. If there's someone here that does not know You and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll come forward in this invitation. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Will you come?